listing all five verses of it. Okay? Don't worry, it's not a long song. Okay? Ready?
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus left the cross of broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting needs His sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprint all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good old right, old man.
Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job, fellas. Good job. Good job, fellas. Thank you so much for that. Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13 in your Bibles this morning, or this evening, or whatever it is. Genesis 13. And, this morning in the New Testament, all right? But tonight in the Old Testament. Genesis 13. And again, let's stand real quickly as we read a verse of Scripture tonight. Genesis chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse number 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Let's pray, Lord. We love You. Thank You so much, Lord, already for the wonderful singing that we've had. Lord, just we can sense Your presence here tonight. Thank You for those that came out to pray tonight. Lord, what a blessing that was. God, I ask You to be with those that could not be here tonight for whatever reason. I pray that if they're sick, You'll heal them. Lord, if they're traveling, You'll bring them back safely. Lord, if they're working, that You'll keep them safe and bring them back to church soon. But Lord, as we're here tonight, Lord, You knew who was going to be here this evening. And Lord, I pray that You'll just help us to glean from Your Word tonight. Lord, may we honor and glorify You in all that we say and do. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that does not know You as Lord and Savior, I pray they'll trust You this evening. But Lord, that You'll strengthen the saint of God, challenge us, mold us, and shape us into what You want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you again so much for standing. All right, this evening, we're going to go through the last five steps. This morning, We started speaking on the subject of 10 steps that ruin your life. 10 steps that ruin your life. We spoke about number one, how strife can ruin your life. It causes a division, and that sight was number two. What we look at, the things we allow in our eyes can ruin our life. It can cause ruin to come. The selection that we make, the choices that we make was number three. We said that was something in our life that our choices have consequences. And if we choose to do wrong, even if you think nobody else around you sees it, if nobody else around you has a problem, you think, listen, Achan made a bad decision, didn't he? When God told him to go into Jericho and not to touch anything, but to destroy the city, but he took that wedge of gold and Babylonian shard. Nobody knew, but God knew. And the Bible said the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And so other people suffered the consequences of one man's choice. And by the way, we all have suffered the consequences of one man's choice. Because of Adam's sin, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And so our selection, our choice can ruin our life. Our separation, not from the world, but separation from godly influence. Separation from those around us where we know we're supposed to be. When we separate ourselves, you know, you get mad at something, you leave the church because you're mad. A lot of people say, well, I got hurt when I went to church and somebody hurt me. By the way, everybody that's ever been alive has been hurt by something. Okay? But God did not hurt you. And you don't come to church for men. The reason you leave because of men is because you come because of men. And we don't do that. If you come because of the Lord, He'll never fail you. And so you don't leave church because of that. So our separation from godly influences. Then we talked about his sojourning, Lot's sojourning. When he didn't just get in the valley in front of Sodom, he looked toward Sodom. He set up camp right looking at the gate of Sodom. And so he was sojourning there. And so he was wandered a little bit closer. That sojourning means to wander around, to just wander around really with no goal in mind. If you study that word sojourn, it's not that really you have a place to go. It's you're wandering around in an area where you really don't know what you're doing. And then look over here. Let's continue reading down. If you look at chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. When it said toward Sodom, you see, what does that mean? He situated himself. So number six is positioning yourself toward sin. See, he didn't just wander around in the area where sin was. He positioned himself where sin was right at his doorstep. And we do that oftentimes, don't we? We make decisions and wander around aimlessly. We leave our first love and we wander around blind in the things of this world. And we situate ourselves not in an area that we're safe from the outward attack, but in such a way that we're on the doorstep of something that's going to destroy us. He positioned himself toward Sodom. He goes where his eyes are leading him. And listen, we get burnt by sin a lot because we camp so close to that temptation. There's a lot of people deal with a lot of things. Temptation, by the way, is not sin. Just so you know that. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are yet without sin. Okay, so because you're tempted to do something doesn't mean you've sinned. It's when you yield to that temptation. But what happens when you situate yourself in the area of temptation, it's saying, well, you know what, I have a problem with alcohol, so I'm going to park in the bar parking lot. Guess what? You're going to stumble. You have a problem with drugs, you say, well, I'm just going to park in the area where the drug dealer used to meet me. You're situating yourself towards that ruin, and it's going to ruin your life. There's so many things that in our life, when we go down through these steps, all the way down to where we are, these are steps that lead us to a ruined life. And if you know the story of Lot, most of us would agree his life was ruined. His family was destroyed, all these things. I'm not going to get into all of it tonight. But there's a lot of things that took place in his life. All because there was strife. And that strife caused a lot of problems, didn't it? They ended up, he saw the well-watered plains. He separated himself from the situation. He went down through and he made a bad choice. And he made a selection that looked right. It looked good. And guess what? All that glitters is not gold, just so you understand that. And Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. And when you look at things, just because it looks good doesn't mean that it is good. By the way, just because a church has 700 people doesn't mean it's godly. There's a lot of churches that have the name church, but there's no holiness in that place at all. It's a glorified social club. And we don't come, we come for fellowship, absolutely. We enjoy being with each other. But you understand, fellowship is not just getting together and eating and having a good time. Fellowship is fellowshipping in suffering. It's fellowshipping together, being united together under the banner of Jesus Christ, and we fellowship one with another as the Spirit fellowships with us. So guess what? We have fellowship right now while we're sitting learning about the Lord. This is a fellowship of believers. And so when we separate ourselves from that, it causes some problems. And we sojourn, we wander around. Well, you know, preacher, I feel led to leave the church. Well, why? I don't know. Sojourning. You know, here's the thing. If there's sin in a church, I understand if they're not willing to deal with it, you leave. Okay? If they're doctrinally incorrect, you leave. Okay? And find a place that is doctrinally right. Or run the person out who's not doctrinally right and get somebody in who is. Okay? But the fact is, we have too many people just leave because of whatever issue they have. Well, you know what? The gravel is hurting my feet. So, I'm not gonna stay at that church. Listen, we have it good in America. Go to other countries and find out how they come to church. You ask Miss Carlene, she said, over there in Jamaica, they come to church whether it's hot, whether, you know, they have to walk for miles, they come, don't they? And they don't complain about it. They like to sing for hours. And, we go past 35 minutes and we say, man, preacher just, he's too long-winded. We have all this stuff that we've allowed happen, and what we end up doing is we end up situating ourselves and positioning ourselves just like Lot did, looking at the gate of Sodom. And it ends up destroying us and ruining us. It begins ruining us. If we continue to read down, look what happens. It says in verse 12, and he dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You think, well, preacher, what's the big deal about that? Well, he ends up looking at a place and sitting on the doorstep of a place that was wicked in the eyes of God. You know, God doesn't intend His people to be around that type of wickedness. You know what He wants us to do? Oh, He wants us to witness to them, absolutely. He wants us to try to win them to Christ, absolutely, but He doesn't want us to be fellowshipping with it and partaking in the things that happen. Because I'll tell you this, whenever you situate yourself on the doorstep of wickedness, you end up doing what he did next. Look at verse number 19, or chapter 19 and verse 1. We're going to jump ahead here a little bit. It says, and there came two angels. Where at? Wait, I thought he was outside of it. I thought he was in a tent outside of Sodom. I thought he was in a valley, the well-watered plains, just for his cattle and just for his crops and just for those kind of things. And he situated himself at the door right there looking toward Sodom. But now here we're reading in chapter number 19 and these angels are coming. God's wrath about to be poured down on that nation. And where is he? He had settled himself in the city. You know what's happening is little steps. Little steps that are taking him from the protection and the guidance of God, from that strife to the sight that he looked and saw, the well-watered plains, to the making a decision, the selection that he made was the wrong choice, the separating himself from that godly influence and sojourning, just wandering around in a place and he situated himself right there. Oh, well, I'm not quite in it. But I want you to understand something. You can't put your foot that close to a serpent and not get bit. Anybody in their right mind, by the way, we're not a snake handling church, and if you have a snake, it ain't welcome here, okay? But if we had a rattlesnake up here, and I said, hey, I'll give you $5, Shane, to stick your hand in front of the face of that. He's like, $5? Yeah, okay. That was Lot, all right, by the way. I'll take my $5 back when you're dead from the venom, okay? See, the nature of a serpent is to bite. And when you settle yourself or situate yourself outside the door of something, you'll end up in it eventually. And don't think that you're stronger, because the Bible calls Lot just Lot. He vexed his righteous soul. Read the book of Hebrews and all that. Guess what it says? It says he vexed his righteous soul. Why? Because he took little steps that were leading him to ruin. It started with strife amongst the herdsmen. And instead of them just dealing with the strife, Brother Peterson, and saying, hey, enough! Quit acting like fools! They separated. And he looked down, saw those well-watered plains, and said, wow, that would be good. I really don't think, Brother Ron, that he said, man, you know what, I'm going to go down there and my family's going to become wicked. I'm looking forward to this. That wasn't his intention. His intention was to go down and allow his herds to feed in the grasses and to have the well-watered plains and all the water that was down there. But in that area, just because it looked good, there was wickedness on the other side. And guess what? He didn't set up camp on the opposite side of that field. Where the well-watered plains, he went right outside of Sodom. Towards Sodom, looking right at the door. Situated himself. Now we find in chapter 19 and verse 1, he has now settled himself there. He's no longer a pilgrim outside of it. He is a citizen of it. He's no longer on the outside. By the way, there's no tents now. He's got a house in Sodom. It says, and they visited him at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. See, you understand these steps that sin has taken him farther than he ever wanted to go. He started out, you know, the right way with Abram, and they were doing the right thing. God had blessed them abundantly. But just because the blessings of God are there does not mean you're safe from harm, because your decisions can cause all that blessing to go away. And here we're finding in Lot's life now, as there's a lot that's happened over the course of time, and he's no longer got some tents, by the way, or temporary. They're sitting on the outside. He can take them up and set them down. He had his tent there outside of Sodom. But now it says he's in the gate. He's there at Sodom. These angels are now coming, and Abram's praying. God's going to destroy the city. Abram's praying. God, if you find this many righteous, will you spare the city? He says, yea, for 40 I'll spare the city. He said, what about, and he knew Lot and his family. Surely Lot and his family are doing the right thing. But listen, just because Lot knew what was right didn't mean he was doing what was right. It's one thing to know to do right. The Bible says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so now he's settling his family. He's settling himself down. He leaves the tents and all behind. Now he puts roots down in this place. You ever heard somebody say, man, my roots are here. This is where my roots are. It's where I come back. See, Lot now has roots there. What, his daughters are married to men of Sodom? His sons-in-law are in that wicked city? He's there. No longer does he have a tent. He's got a home inside the gates. We read about that later on, where they even come and knock on his door of his house. He settled himself now amongst the wickedness. He was outside of it, just looking at it before. Now he's at the gate. And so number 7, we saw he was settling himself and his family there in that. When you settle yourself in the gates of wickedness, guess what? It's going to ruin you. It's going to ruin you. But here's something that's significant in this verse, chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels at Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose to meet them and bowed himself down on his face toward the ground. Now listen, when you sit at the gate back in those days, that means you were of importance in the city. You were a leader in the city. Brother Dillon, what business did Lot have being an authority, a leader amongst a wicked society? You think about that. He was now one that, oh, they all trusted. He was one they emulated. He was one that, guess what? He was that type of person that was, oh, well, let's just go with the flow. And he became, in fact, he calls them something later on in the passage. We're not going to read it right now for sake of time, but he called them brethren in Sodom. So he's now sitting, not just settled his family there, He is now sitting himself at the gate. He's gotten himself now where it's not just I'm outside the door. Now I'm inside the walls and I've got a home here. But that's not even good enough. Now I'm just going to plant myself and sit here as a leader, leading other people to do this. You say, preacher, I'm not going to get that far. Lot didn't think so either. But these steps that will ruin you. He's now seated at the gates, which means he's a leader in Sodom. And listen, sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you far more than you want to pay. And this is steps to ruin. But now he's been given and told what was going to happen. And Lot shut the door after him. Look, I'll just read it. Verse 7 of chapter 19. And this is where they come to the door. Those wicked men saw those angels come in and they wanted to have their wicked way with them. And Lot comes out of his house and it says he shuts his door behind them, verse 6, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. You know what? Oh, this is a little bit across the line, fellas. You know, you can do wicked, but not so wickedly. You think he's accepting their lifestyle. He's accepting the things going on. He said, now, and look at the lowness of how he is. He said this, behold, I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. He said, hey, look, they're my guests. Here, take my daughters and go do wicked things with them. This is Lot, who's a relative of Abram, who was blessed by God, who, because of strife, was now given an option of, hey, we can separate and you choose where you want to go. And he looks and sees the well-watered plains and says, oh, I know there's wickedness down there, but I'll just stay outside of it. It's not going to affect me. It's good for my crops. It's good for my cattle. It's good for my livelihood. So we'll just camp down there and we'll be okay because we're just staying outside of it. Well, listen, you can't head in the direction of wickedness and wickedness not come on you. And he ends up outside of it, settling himself now in it, sitting at the gate of it. He's a leader in it. And he's told that the Lord's going to destroy the city. He's going to wipe it out. And they tried to tell him, hey, God's going to destroy this place. God's going to annihilate this place. But he wouldn't listen. Look at verse 16. And while he what? Lingered. He was given warning by God that God was going to destroy the city. But he suspended from leaving. He was hesitating. Well, you know what? My livelihood is here now. I've got friends here. I've got family here. If I leave now, what am I going to do? Listen, there's times, church, God gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. He says, hey, there's consequences for actions. I'm going to destroy the wickedness that's happening. In fact, if you keep doing this, it's going to cause a lot of pain on you. And instead of us repenting and turning away from it and going back to God, we say, well, hold on, Lord. Let me just stay in it a little while longer. It says he lingered. You see that? The man laid hold upon his hand and upon his head and upon his hand, the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Listen, I'm telling you how much he was in this is that he had to be dragged by force out of this wicked city. This is just Lot, who vexed his righteous soul. Why? Because he allowed one step after one step after one step after one step to get him so far away from what he knew was right. Now he's even to the place where he knows it's going to be destroyed and he has to be physically dragged out of the city. You know, sometimes as a pastor, just so you understand, there's times that I've had to drag people out of what they're doing. Why? Because they just are so far into it that they just don't want to get out. They don't know what to do if I get out. And in fact, they believe Satan's lie that they can't come out because God won't bless them and God won't help them and God won't forgive them. Listen, you are never too far for God to forgive you. If you'll come with a righteous heart and a forgiving heart and a repentant heart, God can forgive you. He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he suspended himself. He hesitated to leave. His roots were deep and he had to be dragged out of the city. You ever seen somebody that just had some addiction and they were just, their roots were in it? And they kept trying to get out and trying to get out and trying to get out, and they just couldn't get out. They just couldn't believe that they could ever get out of it. And you basically had to drag them out of it. That's where Lot was. He started off with the blessings of God. God was so good to them that they had so many cattle and so much herds that the herdmen were just fighting amongst each other. I don't know if they were saying, hey, that's Lot's brand, that's Abram's brand, or whatever. I don't know what they were fighting over, but there was strife. There was strife amongst the family. And it snowballed from there. You understand, when you take a step off of that slippery precipice of sin, you have no control once you start sliding. And once you start sliding, it's a slippery slope, and it ends up in ruin. Oh, well, guess what? Now Lot's out. Oh, he made it out. They drug him out. Yeah, well, his daughter's burned up in that place. Because when he came to his sons-in-law, and he says to him, hey, God's going to destroy the city, the Bible said they laughed at him as one who mocked. Could you imagine having such a tarnish on your testimony that you tell somebody about God and they laugh at you? What are you doing talking about God? You're a gatekeeper. You're one of the leaders of the city. And you're trying to tell us that God's going to destroy this place because of the wickedness? Hey, listen, you need to be saved and trust Jesus as your Savior, and God wants you to live right. Well, how come you have all the parties at home? When the neighbors say, well, really? You want me to trust Jesus? How come you curse His name? That's where Lot was. Lot got to the place where his sons-in-law mocked at him because he was trying to now preach at them or speak righteous at them. Listen, your actions speak a whole lot louder than your words. Because he's there, and I believe now he was sincere, understanding that he was going to have the city destroyed, and he didn't want his daughters to burn up or his sons-in-law. And he says, hey, you got to get out. And yeah, God, right? We're guilty. Our lifestyle gets in such a way that we have dug so many roots in that wickedness and in that sin that when we even try to come out, or the preacher warns you about it, or God speaks to your heart about it, to say, well, I just got to linger a little bit longer. Just got to linger a little bit longer. We suspend ourselves from leaving, and it leads to ruin and disaster. Now they've gotten out of the city. They flee. They've been taken out of the city. And they come all the place now where the Lord rained down upon Sodom, verse 24. It says, He rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But remember the instructions that they were told when they left the city? Don't look back at it. But his wife looked back. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. Now listen, before we frown at her and start saying, well, she was just so wicked, she couldn't leave that wicked city. Her daughters were there. Listen, guys, mamas have a heart for their kids. And I think, honestly, Brother Eddie, I think she's just looking back because maybe she was hoping her daughters ran out behind her. But God still said, don't look back. And the fact is, they were wrong for going there in the first place. And all that happened because of it was not everybody else's fault, it was Lot's fault, because he started with strife, he allowed his eyes to affect his heart. It's what happened, right? He separated himself from godly influences. He came to the place now where he settled out in the plains and situated himself toward it. He sojourned, wandered around, ended up setting up camp outside the gate, and then he was sitting in the gate. As a leader of it, he was sitting in the gate now as a leader of one in Sodom. And now he suspends from even leaving and says, I can't leave yet. I'm lingering around here. And it all leads to a vile incestual relationship. Look at verse 33. His wife's gone, just him and his two daughters. And they prayed. It said, then they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesterday with my father, and let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, and they may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and perceived not that she lay down. He perceived not that she lay down, or when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Benami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. If you're familiar with the Moabites and the Ammonites, they were the enemies of God. They were the enemy of God's people. The Israelites fought against the Moabites and the Ammonites for years and years and years. But God used a bad situation, and listen, it turned into sexual impurity. You say, how could somebody ever get to a place where they commit so much sexual impurity and all these things? I'll tell you what, it was a step after 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 a step, and it led to ruin. Now he's having daughters or children with his own daughters. And now these children that were born because of this bad choice, it started all back here with the strife. And now it snowballed all to the place now where there was a child named Moab. And then you had the father of the Ammonites. And they were the devout enemies of God. And if you remember, even when you had Naomi and her husband Elimelech went to a city in a famine. And what was that city called? Moab. Because you know what? During a hard time, they left God. And they went to a city of Moab, and their sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married Moabitess women. And her sons both died, and her husband died. Listen, any time you go to the world, there's ruin. There's ruin. Now listen, God used a situation, one of the daughters of the Moabites, Ruth, to have the lineage of Jesus. And you say, why'd God do that? He was just showing His grace, even through the midst of bad decisions. He's showing His mercy in the midst of bad decisions. But I want you to understand something. You don't have to go through that life of ruin if you just start off making the right choices. See, Abram walked by faith, but Lot walked by sight. Abram was generous, you choose. Lot was greedy. Oh, there's the well-watered plains. Abram had spiritual desires. Lot had worldly desires. Abram looked for a city that was built by God. Lot was looking for a city that was built by man and ended up being destroyed by God. Abram coveted righteousness. Lot coveted success. But can I help you with something? Success is only found in righteousness. True Bible success is only found in righteousness. It's not found in the wickedness of this world. It's not found in man's ways or man's opinions. It's not found in the wisdom of this man's world. But it's found by reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God, obeying the Word of God. Listen, we have a generation today that knows not God. You know why? Because we've allowed our decisions, our sight, we've allowed our strife, we've allowed all that stuff to separate ourselves from godly influences. We've allowed ourselves to just settle right outside the gate. And then we end up sitting in the gate. We say, well, you know what? I'm okay. I'm just going with the flow of it. You understand even the wicked heart that his daughters had? I mean, Lot was not raised in a spiritual family. Lot was raised in a family that was just acceptant now of the world. Even to the place that his daughters come up with an idea just to have a child with their father. You say, how could I ever get that far? How could Lot, who walked with Abram, who was a relative of Abram, how could he ever get that far? I'll tell you why. Because when you don't have the convictions yourself, and you just say, oh, well, I'm just going to hang on to preacher's convictions because that's what preacher says. and they're not yours, you end up just like a man named Joash in the Bible. The Bible says Joash, he reigned when he was 7 years old. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, even as Jehoiada the priest, all the days of Jehoiada the priest. See, Jehoiada saved him from his wicked grandmother who wanted to kill her family. And when he got to the age of 7, he brought him forth as king, and he did that which is right. He was grateful to Jehoiada. Jehoiada had a son named Zechariah, and they raised him in righteousness to do the right thing, and he reigned until he was like 16, 17 years old, and Jehoiada died. And when Jehoiada died, Brother Caleb, the princes came to him and began to talk to him, and guess what? He left the house of the Lord. And he turned to idols. You know why? Because the reason he was doing right was because the one that cared for him was doing right. But it wasn't personal with him. See, the reason Lot went this far, because it was what Abram had, he didn't make personal in his life. You cannot hang on the shirt tails, young people, of your parents forever. You have to make right choices for yourself to do the right thing. Because one day mom and dad are going to be gone. One day pastor's going to be gone. And you're going to have to make those decisions for yourself. I mean, Joash even got to the place where Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, comes to him and says, hey, what you're doing is against God. And the king commands them to stone him in the court of the house of the Lord. How did he get that far? I'll tell you how he got that far. One step at a time. Started off with just one little step. Well, you know, I mean, here's God. I'm just right here. I can still reach out and touch him. Well, you know what? Oh, look at this. Wow. And then you're fine here for a little while. Well, that doesn't satisfy enough, right? Then pretty soon you're way, way over here. And you look back and say, how did God get so far? And Satan makes you believe, look, God left me. Listen, God's still where he was. You just got to come back to him. Listen, these steps that will ruin your life, it's true in everybody's case. You're not better than Lot. And I'm not better than Lot. We have to understand these steps away from God. When we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. But if we hunger and thirst after the flesh, guess what? We sow to that flesh, and of that flesh we reap corruption. And it can happen even with people that are saved. People that know what's right to do, but they don't do it. And sin takes them farther than they ever want to go. You know how many casualties there are of men of God that have stood up behind a pulpit like this and preached the Word of God that are sitting in prison today because of bad choices? They've ruined their families because of bad choices. They've ruined churches because of bad choices. But it's not just pastors. It's church members that get upset with other church members. And that strife begins to happen, and then all of a sudden we see something a little better, and we say, oh, you know what, we're just going to go over there. And while we're going over there, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take other people with us. And we go, oh, the grass is greener over here, y'all. You go over there, that preacher doesn't preach on sin. That preacher just makes you feel good. He talks about the love of God. And God is love, church. Don't let me... God is love. But a loving God chastens His children. And a loving God expects us to live holy. And a loving God expects us to live righteous. And a loving God tells us to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And He said He loves us so much that when we step aside, guess what He does? He chastens us as His children. For what? For the perfection of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Don't think that you're strong enough to handle it on your own. Because without God, you're going to crumble. And we take one step and it doesn't seem that far. We take another step, it doesn't seem that far. You boys that were at Mount Salem, when you take that first step down the hill from the dorms, it doesn't seem that bad, right? When you get to the bottom and you look up at those 100-something steps, you start thinking, wow, I wish somebody'd drive me up there. If you've ever been there, you'd understand. But you know what? When we get to the bottom, when we look back, we think it's impossible to get back up there. But I'm here to tell you it's not impossible. Because we have a God that's got His hand reached out. And He just says, just like Peter, when Peter began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. And guess what? The Lord picked him up. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you've never been saved, all you have to do is say, Lord, save me. I know I'm a sinner. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? You got to believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. You got to realize you can't get to heaven on your own. It's not by any work that you have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. He's the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. But once you're saved, listen, when you begin to sink, you say, Daddy, I need you. I'm sorry. And with a repentant heart. Listen, He knows your heart. He knows if you're just saying you're sorry so you try to get out of trouble, or if you're truly sorry and want His forgiveness. But if you come with a spirit of repentance and you truly want forgiveness, guess what He says? He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, in that verse, do not mistake that verse. Take that verse for what it says. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us and cleanse us, right? He never said there wouldn't be consequences for it. Oh, we can have a future from that day forward, but we still might have some repercussions of sin. David, I've sinned against the Lord, right? God forgave him. The baby still died. He still dealt with his son taking his sister and doing wicked things with her. He still dealt with Absalom trying to overthrow the kingdom. Absalom dying as well. He dealt with things. Remember when he said that he shall restore it unto him fourfold? He got it fourfold. But God forgave him. And God still called him a man after God's own heart. So listen, just because you've been down doesn't mean you're out. But you need to ask God to forgive you. Don't set up camp outside. Listen, we're pilgrims in this earth, right? We ought not to be residents of it, but pilgrims of it. I mean, we're just passing through. Our home's up there beyond the blue. I'm looking for heavenly things, not earthly things. You know, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. And so let's do what God wants.